Here's the deadline countdown for every Trump impeachment subpoena issued so far. By Chris Wilson. If Congress drops a subpoena and no one responds, does it have an impact? At present, 6 of the 8 major subpoenas that House Democrats have issued to Trump administration officials and departments have gone unanswered past the deadline set in the request, and the clock was rapidly ticking down on the final 2, which were due Friday, October 18th. Subpoenas can both compel an individual to testify and/or turn over documents, as is the case with U.S. Ambassador to the EU Gordon Sunderland, who testified in a closed-door hearing Thursday but hasn't provided any requested material. This article follows only document requests. Time is tracking each of these subpoenas and the original documents behind them. Even if they never produce a single document, reading these requests for information offers a sort of flipbook of the investigation as it's unfolded. This list is as of day 27 of the impeachment proceedings. Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State, issued September 27, 2019, due October 5, 2019, so it's 16 days late. In their initial 6-item request to Pompeo for documents on September 9th, House investigators asked for any document in any format relating specifically to the now infamous July 25th call between President Trump and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. The letter cites several individuals by name, including former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort, Hunter Biden, and Rudy Giuliani, who gets his own bullet point. Rudy Giuliani, personal attorney to Donald Trump, issued September 30th, due October 16th, 5 days late. The list of documents requested from Rudy Giuliani is far longer than Pompeo's list, spanning 23 bullet points and reading like a who's who of Ukrainian political and energy sector heavyweights. Many American officials are also mentioned. Around 40 individuals are cited by name, from high-profile U.S. officials like Secretary of Energy Rick Perry, Attorney General William Barr, and former Special Representative for Ukraine Kurt Volker, as well as many relatively unknown aides to either the former or current Ukrainian president. The schedule also mentions several key dates in addition to the July 25th call. Trump's congratulatory call to Zelensky after the Ukrainian politician's April 21st victory. Zelensky's inauguration on May 20th, which neither Giuliani nor Pence attended. A May 23rd meeting at the White House involving Perry, Trump, Volker, U.S. Ambassador to the European Union Gordon Sondland, and others. An August 2nd meeting between Giuliani and Zelensky advisor Andrei Yermak in Madrid. A potential meeting between Trump and Zelensky in Poland in September, including Trump's decision to send Vice President Mike Pence instead. Next, Mick Mulvaney, acting White House Chief of Staff, issued October 4th, due October 19th, 2 days late. In addition to many of the individuals and events mentioned in Giuliani's subpoena, the Mulvaney subpoena was the first to mention several high-ranking American officials, including senior White House advisor Jared Kushner, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, and former National Security Advisor John Bolton. The schedule also introduces several other documents and events. A quote-unquote memorandum of telephone conversation detailed in the July 25th call. A July 10th meeting at the White House between Ukrainian officials and Perry, Bolton, Volker, and Sondland. The request alludes to, quote, the proposed or actual participation of President Trump and Vice President Pence in the meeting. And all interaction between Trump and Zelensky during the United Nations General Assembly in September. Next, Mark Esper, Secretary of Defense, issued October 7th, due October 16th, 5 days late. The subpoena addressed to Defense Secretary Mark Esper references several new communications between U.S. and Ukrainian officials. A September 17th call between Pompeo and Ukrainian Foreign Minister Vadim Pristeyko. A September 18th call between Pence and Ukrainian President Zelensky. And documents involving the names of all officials attending interagency meetings related to Ukrainian foreign assistance. The request specifically references meetings on July 18th, 23rd, 26th, and 31st, dating to both before and after the infamous July 25th call. Next, Russell Vogt, Acting Director, Office of Management and Budget, issued October 7th, due October 16th, 5 days late. This brief 9-point subpoena addressed a vote in lieu of the actual director, Mick Mulvaney, who's also the acting chief of staff, mainly concerns all the bureaucratic machinations behind the delayed aid package to Ukraine, which was released on September 11th. Gordon Sondland, the U.S. ambassador to the European Union, issued October 8th, due October 15th, 6 days late. Note, Sondland complied with a subpoena to testify, but hasn't turned over documents. This brief request covers familiar territory seeking Sondland's personal involvement in or knowledge of the diplomatic parley between the United States and Ukraine, which is not a member of the European Union. The request specifically mentions the removal of former U.S. Ambassador to Ukraine Marie Yovanovitch, which was first cited in the Giuliani subpoena. Lev Parnas and Igor Fruman, Giuliani associates, issued October 10th, due October 17th, 4 days late. House investigators delivered a pair of identical subpoenas to those Giuliani associates on October 10th, the same day they were arrested at Dulles International Airport. They're charged with violating campaign finance laws as part of a pressure campaign in Ukraine that allegedly includes efforts to replace the former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, Yovanovitch. While the congressional subpoena is largely an abbreviated version of the topics in the 21-page indictment from the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York, it adds several new names to the impeachment canon, including Donald Trump Jr., former Congressman Pete Sessions, who's been subpoenaed by the Manhattan U.S. Attorney in the investigation into Parnas and Fruman, and America First Action Incorporated, a pro-Trump super PAC. Next, Rick Perry, the former Secretary of Energy. It was issued October 10th and was due October 19th, so it's 2 days late. The documents requested from Perry cover a lot of the same ground as the Esper subpoena from the perspective of the Department of Energy, with a particular focus on alleged U.S. efforts to influence the Ukrainian natural gas industry. This is the only subpoena to specifically cite Naftogaz, Ukraine's state-owned oil and gas company. It also contains the first reference to a May 21st meeting in Kiev between Perry, Volker, Sondland, and a variety of Ukrainian officials, many of whom are involved in the country's energy sector. For regular civilians, there are clear consequences for forgetting to comply with, say, a court summons. As the Civil Law Self-Help Center helpfully clarifies, quote, ignoring a lawsuit does not make it go away. But Congress is not a court, and members of the executive branch are not like you and me. Several news outlets have tackled the tricky question of what can happen when the executive branch fails to respond to a congressional subpoena, or more precisely, when the White House acknowledges them only to clarify its intent to ignore them. This is one of many impeachment subplots where the balance of power between Congress and the president, as empowered by Articles 1 and 2 of the Constitution, respectively, are murky at best and may require the courts, Article 3, to referee. In the meantime, however, the subpoenas themselves, which are public documents, offer an illuminating window into how the three House committees at the helm of the impeachment investigation are piecing together the story of what happened during that fateful July 25th call between President Trump and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky and how we got there. Congressional subpoenas come in two parts: a letter outlining the broad scope of the request for documents, correspondence, and the names of all individuals involved, as well as an attached schedule that is simultaneously as broad and specific as possible. These schedules, while not particularly breezy, are packed with names of bit players in the Ukrainian saga who otherwise we might never know existed, as well as private White House meetings that weren't disclosed or not widely noticed at the time they occurred. Each schedule is loosely tailored to the target's domain of authority, but as a whole, one sees the picture develop in increasing resolution. In some cases, the actual request for documents attached to the letter isn't easily accessible from House committee websites, but is detailed in an earlier request for documents before a subpoena was on the table.